Join us for our morning worship service. We'd like to welcome you, and I trust that we'll be a blessing to you as you are to us in your faithful joining us, albeit through online. Numbers chapter 18, please, in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 18. And as you're turning, let me just share with you a story, an account of I read over the course of my preparation for this morning, and a story of a Wednesday evening church meeting. A very wealthy man rose to give his testimony. "I'm a millionaire," he said, "and I attribute it all to the rich blessings of God in my life. I can still remember the turning point in my faith like it was yesterday," he said. "I just earned my first dollar, and I went to a church meeting that night. The speaker was a missionary, and he was talking about his work. I knew that I only had a dollar, and I had to either give it all to God's work or nothing at all. So, at that moment, I decided to give my whole $1 to God. I believe that God blessed that decision, and that is why I'm a millionaire today." As he finished, it was clear that everyone was moved by this man's testimony. But as he took his seat, an old lady sitting near him said, "What a wonderful story. I dare you to do it all over again with your $1 million. We've been considering having a heart for missions. That realization of the value of the human soul. We challenge ourselves with the heart for urgency. In today is the day of salvation for the lost sinner. This morning, let us learn the first part of two messages in having a heart for giving. A heart for giving. And this morning, in particular, biblical tithing. Biblical tithing. Would you stand with me, please, and open your Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 18. We pick up the account here in verse 21. The book of Numbers, chapter 18, beginning here in verse 21. "And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance for their service, which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as an heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance." Now turn back a few pages to Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus chapter 27. This time in verse 30. Leviticus chapter 27, here in verse 30. and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Now go now to the New Testament. The New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're considering tithing. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in the New Testament, no longer under the law, the church age, the age of grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, here in verse 13. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things give of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Verse 14, even so, or likewise, hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should leave of the gospel. And then lastly, before we pray, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, again, the church age, no longer under the law. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so, likewise, do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay him by in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Let's pray together. Our Father, once again, we come before you, trusting on the authority of your word, the absolute standard of truth. I pray yet again, speak through me. Use me as your mouthpiece. Help me not communicate things that are of my opinion. Help me to preach your word as you have written it, and help us to understand your truth, and help us to be doers of your word rather than hearers only. I pray that you would clear our minds and our ponderings and our prejudice, our preferences, our baggages. I pray, Lord, that we will see you in the pages of your holy word this morning, your people desiring to be obedient children to you. I pray you'd meet with us, do as you please in each of our hearts this morning. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. A heart for giving. A heart for giving. It would be fair to say that amongst many other things, money, dollars and cents, either the lack or lots of it, money, and the biblical stewardship of it in giving or withholding, money and the love of it is not only the root of all evil, but also is one of, if not the greatest challenge that many believers have to contend with today. Again, if you and I are to have a heart for missions, money and the giving of it will certainly test us, and indeed our faith in the one who is the Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Contrary to what is commonly known today, in the Bible, giving and indeed offering unto the Lord goes way back earlier than Abraham and the Melchizedek tithes, way back Moses and the Levitical priesthood in the law, way, way back, the offering unto the Lord. If you know your Bible, you would notice that the offering unto the Lord was recorded just after the fall in Genesis 4. That further back. In verses 3 to 4. By the way, the offering that was started, and dare I say, always and should be from the heart. A free will offering unto the Lord. Cain brought. No one commanded him. At least not that we can read from scriptures. He brought, that's free will offering. He brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, the Bible says. So did Abel. He brought. No one asked him. God didn't command him. But he willingly, of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, unto the Lord. Check it out, Genesis 4. How about Noah? Again, he was before Abraham, way before Moses and the law. Genesis 8, verse 20. Straight after the flood, when the waters have receded or departed from the earth, the Bible records, Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast, of every clean fowl, and offered. Can you see it? And offered what? Burnt offerings unto the altar. God didn't command him. He freely, willingly did it. He wasn't compelled to offer anything, but out of his heart, he did it. And don't forget this. Whatever Noah offered unto that burnt offering on the day, the earth was flooded. There's nothing in existence at that time, except the one that's in the ark. Whatever Noah gave came from the Lord. Can you see it? It was already provided. It's already in the ark. Whatever he gave to the Lord was God's. Amen? Whatever he gave was provided from the Lord. Now consider Abraham in Genesis 14, verse 20. This is the first mention of the tithe in the entire Bible. Before the law was given. And notice how much Abraham gave. The Bible says, and he, Abraham, gave him, that is Melchizedek, the priest, tithes of all. Not some, of all. Again, you will not find anywhere that he was commanded to give the tithe. He freely and willingly gave it. And later on, we will find that Abraham's faith in giving will be tested by the Lord himself in the giving of his son. But even then, we now know, Abraham did not withhold the sacrifice of his own son. Incredible man, Abraham. He did not withhold his son, his only son, to the Lord. And so, as you can see, well before the formal institution of the tithe, the concept of giving unto the Lord has always been practiced by God's people. And again, no one was forced to give. They gave out of their heart, really out of their love for the Lord. From what we can see from the beginning, Cain and Abel and even Noah brought their free will offerings to the Lord. No amount was stated. And they were not compelled to give. Like I said, they gave willingly. So if that's the case, and it is, where did this matter of tithe came from? Well, let us first define what a tithe is. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines the tithe as a noun, as being the tenth part of anything. But appropriately, the tenth part of the increase annually. Remember, they're an agricultural economy. Arising from the profits of land and stock allotted to the clergy for their support. Clergy being the priests. Tithes are, according to Webster's, are personal, predial, or mixed. What does that mean? Personal, when accruing from labor, art, trade, and navigation. That means the work of their hands. They tithe the work of their hands. Predial, when issuing from the earth, as crops, vegetation, plantation, as in hay, wood, and fruit. And mixed, when accruing from beasts, which are fed from the ground, as in cattle, flock, or herds. According to Webster, as a transitive verb this time, the tithe is to levy a tenth part on, or to tax. To tax to the amount of a tenth. Okay, now that we understand what a tithe is, at least by definition, how did it come about? Now we have to understand that in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, God's people were governed by theocracy. Theocracy. That means they were under God and not democracy as we are in today. And many times we abuse that, don't we? At least for the most part in the globe today, people are living under a democracy, but there are some that are still living under monarchy and communism. Now, under theocracy, the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, was God's representative, God's mediator, if you like, between him and man. And the Levites were the people that God sovereignly chose. His own choice, sovereignly chose to accomplish this mediation between him and man as being the tribe of Levi. Okay? They were not given an inheritance from the land of promise. Instead, as we read from our text, Numbers 18, the tithes from the children of Israel were their inheritance. Can you see it? As to the sons of Levi, received the priesthood from the Lord, the same Lord commanded his people Israel that the tithes of his people will be given to the Levites according to the law. Hebrews 7 verse 5. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have I commanded to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. Now, before we go any further on this, and perhaps the reason why I'm going to labor on this and next Sunday is because of my personal assessment of us last year during missions. I got to be honest with you, it's enlightening for me as your pastor of 7 years at that time to, in a way, be surprised as to even the most mature believer, as I thought, do not have a good grasp of what tithing is and what faith promise is and what free will offering is. And this year, I'm doing a little bit of a cleanup, a little bit of a teaching on what the principles are in giving to the Lord. And I'm hoping that in this message and next Sunday, you will understand that it's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. Now, before we go any further on this, I would like you to understand that contrary to what is commonly known as the tithe, the tenth, and indeed the tax, there is not just one kind of tithe, beloved. There are, in fact, three tithes in the Jewish law or under the Jewish law. First is the Maaser Rishon, the Levitical tithe. This is what is commonly known by many. This is what the Lord referred to as his own. And this is what is deemed as holy unto him, Leviticus 27:30, which is by God's sovereign choice and decision to be given to the Levites as their inheritance, as their portion. Note that the Levites themselves, upon receiving the tithe, they themselves, as recipients of the tithe, are to give tithes of what they receive to give back to the temple. How do we know that? Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 37 to 39. Open your Bibles there. Nehemiah 10, 37 to 39. The Bible says that, and that we should bring the first fruits of our dough and of our offerings and the fruit of all manner of trees, of wine and of oil unto the priests to the chambers of the house of our God, and the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage. And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites take tithes, okay? And the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes unto the house of our God, to the chambers, into the treasure house. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the corn, of the new wine, and the oil unto the chambers where the vessels of the sanctuary and the priests and the that minister and the porters and the singers, and we will not forsake the house of our God. And so here, it is very clear that the tithes are brought into the priests, the Levites, and they themselves, out of their inheritance, out of their income, are then to tithe and send it to the temple. So the tithes were to support the Levites for the work that they do in the ministry of priesthood. The second kind of tithe in the Old Testament law was the Maaser Sheni. Some writers called it the rejoicing or celebration or the feast's tithe. Deuteronomy chapter 14. Let's turn our Bibles there, please. Deuteronomy chapter 14, here in verse 22. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed, that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose at his name there, the tithe of thy corn, and of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds, and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord God, thy God, always. And if the way be too long, so that thou art not able to carry it, that means the tithe, for if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then shalt thou turn it into money, and bind up the money in thine hand, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. Now let me stop here for a moment. Okay? Remember that this is the feast tithe. Okay? Throughout the year, the Jews have to go and congregate together to celebrate their feast days. And it was on these days into the year that the Jews have to give this tithe for them, to be enjoyed by them and their families and their loved ones and the strangers that live in their household, or to the poor, to the widow, to the fatherless, that otherwise will not be able to afford to go to the feast, to travel to where they will congregate. This is the tithe for that purpose. Now, it is also the tithe that they would include the Levite priest, as we will see shortly. Look at verse 26. And thou shalt bestow that now money, okay? For whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, meaning not lust as we understand it today, okay? This means what their hearts desire, what they long for or crave after, like oxen, sheep, wine, strong drink, and now is not the time to cover this strong drink, what this is, or for whatsoever thy soul desireth, and thou shalt eat there. Where is that there? Where the Lord asked them to congregate, okay? Eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice. That's why it's called a rejoicing tithe. And thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household, and the Levite that is within thy gates. Thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath no part nor inheritance with thee. Second tithe. And then the third tithe is the Maaser Ani, given every third year. This is the tithe for the fatherless, for the widow, for the poor. You're still in Deuteronomy chapter 14, but this time go to verse 28, please. Verse 28 of Deuteronomy chapter 14. And at the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase that same year, and shall lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come, and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all of the work of thine hand, which thou doest every 3 years. Maaser Ani. Can you see, brethren, how that the tithe is not just 1/10% and that's it, as is commonly known and sadly even taught and what is worse, being forced into the church age. Okay? Beloved, we are no longer under the law. Aren't you glad? We are under grace. And so when the Lord said through his prophet Malachi that his people were robbing him of his tithes, remember, the tithe is the Lord's, okay? When they were robbing him of this, is what he meant. In other words, his own people did not give or gave to the priests, the Levites, the priesthood, the clergy, of what they have been commanded to give under the law. Now park that thought for a moment. And in 1 Samuel chapter 8, we find that God's people Israel, again, through their rebellion, through their disobedience against their God, this time they desired, they no longer wanted to be under theocracy. They wanted to be under monarchy. Okay? They wanted to be under a king. Very similar to what the pagans and the heathens had at the time. God warned his people through his prophet Samuel. He warned them and told them what will happen to them if they would subject themselves under the king, an earthly king. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 15, the prophet said, a king will take a tenth, a tithe, a tax, really from your seed, your vineyards. In verse 17, just a couple of verses after that, a tenth, a tithe, a tax of your sheep. And the sad truth about this, beloved, is that Israel, even after God warned them through his prophet Samuel, okay, they still went ahead. They still desired to have a king in disobedience to their rightful king with a capital K who dearly loves and cares for them. They would rather give their tithes to a mortal rather than the immortal, to the fallible rather than the infallible, to the creature rather than the creator, to the depraved rather than the divine king of heaven and earth. You see man's choice? We don't want to be under you, God. We want to be under the king. And they're happy to give their tithes to the king rather to the God that loves them. I hope by now that you can see the tithe under the law was a have to. You have to give. Okay? A have to kind of giving. It was what and how God wanted his people to honor him through their substance. It was what God instituted for his people to give back a portion of what he has already generously provided for them. But even so, his people did not honor and given to him as they should have had. In fact, under the law, if one violated or trespassed or sinned against any of the commandments, including the giving of the tithes, check it out. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 16 tells us, and he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing. Remember, the tithe is holy unto the Lord. Notice now what is required of that one. He shall add the fifth part, 20%, thereto, and give it unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. That's the law. Now, Pastor, we understand that. That before the law, the offering unto the Lord was free will in nature. I just told you. Okay? Cain, Abel, Noah, right? Even Abraham. No one commanded him. But they gave out of their free will. Now, during the law, was it all a have to, legislated giving? And I want to address this because for people that are so hung up with the 10%. Okay? No, it wasn't. It wasn't the case at all, even during the law. Okay? Now turn with me to Exodus. This was the time of Moses. Okay? This is indeed under the law. Exodus chapter 35, I'm trying to encourage you that even in the law, that there is still free will offering. I'm trying to get rid you of legalism. Free will even under the law. Exodus chapter 35, here in verse 4 up to 7. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a, what? Willing heart. Let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, and badger's skin, and shittim wood, and oil for the light, and spices for anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, and on it goes, all sorts of willing heart offerings. Now come with me to verse 21 of the same chapter. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came both men and women, as many as were what? Willing-hearted, and brought bracelets, and earrings, and rings, and tablets of jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Stay with me. Drop down to verse 29. The children of Israel brought a willing offering, there you go again, under the law, okay, unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart, there you go again, made them willing to bring for all manner of work, okay, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hands of Moses. Now turn to chapter 36, just across the page, here in verse 3. And they received of Moses all of the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary, to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him, what? Free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work, the work of his hands, which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses, verse 6, gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, Let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. Why? For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it and too much. Now let me ask you, was there an indication in any of what we just read of the 10%? Did you see it? Let me remind you this. This was under the law. All of these were given out of what? A willing heart. And by the way, not all of the offerings were goods, but also services, the work of their hands. Are you getting it? What I'm trying to tell you and make you all see here this morning, many a Christian today are so stuck with the 10%, 10%, 10%, 10%. And even if they actually give that 10%, they then ask, do I give it out of the gross or the net? Huh? I am only XYZ. I'm 1, 2, 3. My dear ones, get it, please. Get it, please. It is never just about the 10%. It's really about your heart. It is never whether you calculate it at gross or net. Again, I say, it is having about willing heart. What you really are giving anyway is really not even yours. It is the Lord's. All of it. You are but a steward, a keeper, a manager of it. So as you read and learn, there is a tithe that is the Lord's. No argument. It's His. And it is for His clergy. And it is to be given into the storehouse. Then there is the tithe for them and their family to be spent not just for themselves. It was still for the Lord's gathering, for His feast days, to celebrate for Him and with Him. And yet again, for the Levites, the priests. Then there is the tithe every 3 years for the poor, for the widow, for the fatherless. So where is 10%? And if you sinned and you trespass and you withheld, you add 1/5, 20% under the law. Are you getting it? That 10%, 10%, 10%? Pastor, you just said we're not under the law, but under grace. So this 10% plus 20% business is not applicable to us. The giving to the priest surely is no longer applicable to us. We are now our own priesthood. We do not worship in tabernacles and temples anymore. We are the church. It's not the building. It's us as the people. So we don't have to tithe in the New Testament, right? Do we have to? Let me remind you from where I started. The concept of the attitude of offering unto the Lord started way back at the time of the law of Moses, started way back in the time of Abraham. The giving unto the Lord is way, way earlier than that. It has always been and should always be about voluntary, free will offering, born out of a grateful and generous heart unto the Lord, who provided all that we are, all that we have, and all that we will ever be. You want to limit your giving to the Lord to the 10%? That's between you and the Lord. And if you believe that He is not even worth giving back the 10%, under the law, that is also between you and the Lord. Today is all about the heart for giving in the tithes. In our lingo, the general offering. It's giving into the storehouse for the clergy and indeed for the church. Next Sunday, and I encourage you to be here for that, I will admonish you and encourage you what biblical giving really is in the New Testament. And more importantly, the principles behind the free will offering, including missions giving. Including missions giving. It is not a con. It's not a gimmick. It is not a trick. It is not to guilt trip. It is Bible. And I will prove to you that it is. Not on my authority, but the authority of the Scriptures. But as I close, allow me to say this to all of you in love and in the context of giving to the church. Okay, that's my premise, and I hope that you will take it at that. Allow me to say this in the context of giving to the church and indeed to the clergy in particular. Look at me, please. As best as I know, since I took over the pastorate of this church, and I'm not alluding that my predecessor didn't, okay? As best as I know, since I took over, I never forced. I never manipulated you or guilt-tripped you, any one of you, to give your tithes and any offerings for that matter. I've checked myself about that. I've looked at my old sermons. God is my witness. Holy Spirit living within me. I've never forced you. I've never guilt-tripped you. Every time that I've asked for and pleaded for money, it wasn't for me. It was for somebody else. And so, I understand that we no longer have the priesthood today. You are your own priesthood. You have a direct access to God as much as I do. But as the Lord would have it, I believe by His call, by His anointing, and by His ordination, you have me, at this time anyway, as your pastor, your clergy. Whether you are a formal or constitutional member of this church or not. Indeed, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13, "Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the holy things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar?" Then he said in verse 14, remember, this is now the time of grace. This is the church age. I say it again, it's no longer under the law. Paul said, "Even so, likewise, hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." Now you have to understand how hard this is for me to say, because I'm the one that's encouraging you about this verse. I do not see your heart, but God does. I hope and pray that you do not begrudge me, because I get paid through the church. That part of your giving, your hard-earned dollars, yeah, it pays for my wage. That's true. I am your biggest cost. For those of you who are members, you can look at the pie chart that Adam puts, and it's so obvious in the pie chart. I consume most of the church budget. You can manipulate that chart any way you want. You can show it as flat graph, pie graph, whatever you do, it's the same. The dollar that you give pays for my existence and my livelihood. Understand that I did not preach this message to force you, to manipulate you, to give more than 10%, because or so that I can get more money off you. Perhaps you are thinking, I'm already getting more than what I deserve. I don't need any more. Or, I'm not even worth the wage. If you're thinking like that, or similar to that, please stop. Please. Because like Paul, I have used none of these things. Neither have I written, and in my case, neither did I preach these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die, that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I've surrendered my life for this. This is it. So woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. That's in glory. But if against my will, a dispensation, that means the stewardship of the gospel is committed, that means entrusted to me. What is my reward then? Paul asked. Verily, that when I preach the gospel, that I may make or present the gospel of Christ without charge. Without charge. That I abuse not my power. That means my authority in the gospel. My dear ones, your tithes, your general offering, sure, it goes into the treasury. And yes, that pays for my wages. That's true. But if you're giving it because you have to, like in the Old Testament law, please check your attitude. Give it to the treasury. Not because you have to support your clergy only. But most of all, give it because you are willing and have a willing heart. And indeed, you love the Lord. Do you have a heart for missions? As in, do you value a soul just like the Lord does? Do you have a heart for urgency? As in, today is the day of salvation for anyone that is without Christ. Do you have a heart for giving? Giving from a willing heart. Giving not because you have to, but giving because you are willing to. And better yet, giving because you love your Lord. A heart for giving. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the strength in the inner man. Thank you for allowing me to preach it in your strength. Thank you for keeping the enemy at bay. I pray now, Lord, that you would undertake for each and every one of us to be thankful that we're no longer under the law, to be thankful that we don't have to give, but rather we can give because we have a willing heart and because we are grateful, and therefore we are generous in our attitude about giving that really is not even ours. Help us in this time of cost of living pressures and mortgage stress and energy bills, rental squeeze, and all the doom and gloom that we see. Help us, Father, to trust in the one that is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Help us to have a good heart attitude in how we handle, how we steward the resources that you have given to us. Help us to follow your example, to give yourself so that others, including us, might live. We give you the praise. We give you the thanks. When we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn number 366. I thought it's a fitting hymn to close. Give me thy heart. 366. Give me thy heart.